Let's say you have a contract that's building outside. Is that thing getting inspected and quality control outside if nobody's watching it?
They're $30,000-$40,000 over what they paid for it right after buying it. No time passing by, they instantly have $30,000-$40,000 in equity.
Do you think the house prices are going to go down to $50,000 in the next 4 years? No. People probably right now are thinking, well, I can't afford anything, but I have land. It's paid off. The biggest thing that I say to them, there's probably enough value in your land to become your down payment.
You don't have to wait till the market goes down. You don't have to wait to see 2.9 interest rates again. You can buy now with one of our modular offsite stick-built homes.
I think that's what it's going to come down to, is the affordability of owning something versus renting something. Over these next 4 years, there's going to be one of the biggest wealth transfers in America, I believe.
This just helps production out back know exactly what your change orders are.
Tell me a little bit about the opportunity we're giving to people to become home buyers for the first time now. You don't have to wait till the market goes down. You don't have to wait to see 2.9 interest rates again. By the way, I don't know if that'll ever happen, right? You can buy now with one of our modular offsite stick-built homes.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing is people probably right now are thinking, well, I can't afford anything, but I have land. It's paid off. The biggest thing that I say to them, there's probably enough value in your land to become your down payment.
Mm-hmm. To get it zeroed. Yeah.
I've
seen a lot of that.
I know most lenders go, 80, 85% of LTV loan to value.
Yeah.
And if you have over that in just equity in the home that you buy and the land that you have, already you're going to have equity built in. And you're moving into a brand new house for free, technically.
Right.
I mean, of course, you're signing loan documents and you're getting a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But what's it costing you out of pocket? You know, if you want to put a road in there, that might cost you out of pocket. You know, if you need a septic tank, we can roll that in.
For anyone that's thinking that they can't afford the down payment getting into a $300,000 house. Because I remember there's this family that came in and they bought this home that's going to go, it's close to Houston, right? And it's going to go on some land. He was paying apartment rent, for 3 years or however long it was.
Yeah.
Like, 3 years or something. And his payment's going to be cheaper than what he's paying for rent. So, and he got in it for, way less. I think that's what it's going to come down to, is the affordability of owning something versus renting something.
Correct. And, for every situation that you're in, I'm actually... in the process of finding me some land, I'm going to live in one of our homes. Why? Because I can build equity out the gate. I think people long term, they don't think long term. They want short term gain, short term success, short term everything. I think it's just like McDonald's. I mean, we want to go through a drive through. We want to have our cheeseburger and French fries there in 2 minutes. Real estate takes time. When you mention interest rates, when you mention the price of everything, do you think the stakes are going to go down since they know that you're going to pay for that? No. Do you think the house prices are going to go down to $50,000 in the next 4 years? No. Why? Do you think gas is going to go down to 50 cents again? It will never, because the economy knows that you're willing to spend up to a certain amount now.
Yep.
Is it going to depreciate over value? In 50 years, it might, but over the last decade or two, it's historically went up 5% every year. So the sooner that you can get into any house, not just a saddle park home, any house versus renting, and setting your family up for success. Mm-hmm. But I think most people think it's impossible to buy right now with the interest rates, and you might be in that spot to where it is. But have a goal to where you know what you want, where you want to go. And we had recently on our podcast, a lady that, now she doesn't have to, the biggest thing is now she doesn't have to worry about making a mortgage, making a payment. Why? Because it's all she needs. I think people like the monetary view of a big house, mm-hmm. like a 2,500 square foot house. But does anybody ever use the full 2,500 square foot at all time?
Mm-mm. Seriously, how last you have four kids.
Yeah. Not unless you have four or five, a big family.
Yeah.
Like, why? Let's think. And
the biggest Chris wants the big house, though.
Great. But in my point of view, most people our age, I'm 23 years old. And most people between 18 and 30, they can't even afford apartment rent. So would it not be better for them to say, let me build equity in an 800, 1,000, a 1,200 square foot home over the next 5 years? I can buy myself one of those dream houses when I'm 40. But by that time you look up and there's no equity, there's nothing left that you've spent in your apartment. You're just going to be hopping from apartment to complex to whatever. The biggest crisis, I think, is the single family market. We're seeing a lot of developers, you know, we're doing 84 in Houston. Why? Because they know they can't build that many doors in the timeline that we can build.
Yeah.
84 homes takes, or 84 doors takes a year or two.
Yeah.
I've got a developer in Fort Smith right now. I'll have him on our podcast in the next few weeks. He's building 340 doors on an apartment. It took him 3 years just to get the permits approved.
Oh, my goodness.
And now he's just starting to build. Yep. So guess what happened? All of the money that he raised for the project, well, now all of those interest rates are ran out. He's got to go raise more money for this project.
Man.
It's going to even cost him $300,000 or $400,000 more because of a permit that took him 3 years to get.
Yep.
Wow.
So what these
developers
are seeing is what they can do the same amount or more ROI because this cost per square foot is less, the time to market is cut in half, and they can put affordable homes on the rent market in less than 6 months versus 3 years.
So my perspective is why are we not seeing more of that happening? I mean, I think it's a new trend that's going out. My perspective is, like, why would you not want to, like, say, like, put have a some offsite builder build a whole community for you as an investor? And, like, we've got tons of them that are now finally coming in. But I feel like there's even the middle class and even the rich, you know, the people that are already doing these development stuff like that. Like, what is it going to take, like, for the middle class or the people that have land that to wake up and say, okay, now, over these next 4 years, there's going to be one of the biggest wealth transfers in America, I believe. How can I set myself apart and create a legacy for my family if I have 30 acres or something like that to create a new community for people and be in it for less than... You don't have to have any smarts doing that because you're not actually building the house. You're buying the houses and you're getting them shipped in, and there's a little bit of things that you got to do, but not much. How can someone like that, like, say, okay, I wanna build a legacy for my family? We don't come from the world where we, you know, invest in real estate, but now we have a chance to catch on to that wealth transfer. Like, I think that's the people that are even watching this. I'm speaking to you guys, like, thinking of being creative ways of saying, okay, I need to put three tiny homes, or I need to put five homes on my land, or even start with one to get away from, to get some mailbox money coming in, but to build generational wealth. That's what I mean. Like, what is it going to take for people to wake up and say, okay, I want to set myself apart? Like, how can I do this? I'm just thinking of ideas.
Yeah, that's my perspective. Yeah, you know what's the crazy thing is, besides the home housing crisis, I think another crisis is lack of knowledge. Okay, people just simply don't know. They don't know the opportunity.
Can you tell them?
In certain,
you're watching.
Hey guys, listen. There's a huge opportunity if you have a piece of land. I mean, we have clients all over the place, but specifically, we just spoke to one of my clients who doesn't need to be doing this, but he's doing it for legacy. You know, has a chance to put 20, 30 of these homes on his land, section, survey 2 acres out, and sell them like that. You know what I mean? It gives the opportunity for first-time home buyers to buy a home.
Yeah.
People who want to downsize to buy a home. Does that make sense? But he's literally trying to leave his mark on this earth. He's trying to make his last name mean something for his kids, for generations to come. You know, so I don't necessarily think that there's people that, you know, don't want to do this. They just don't know, Kyler. And that's why this is so important. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there is a level of urgency that people should be taking. Like, hey, there's an insane opportunity here. Not only
should we tell money,
I think we're telling them right now. But it's not only to make money, but to genuinely help people.
Yeah.
My second perspective would be there has to be some sort of compromise the government has to make. You know what I mean? Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, it's becoming super unaffordable. Now, here's the crazy thing. Texas is quote-unquote affordable. I remember 5-7 years ago, people would come to Texas because you can find homes for $200,000. Now these new communities, that what do they say? From the 300s, from the 400s and above. $200,000 homes do not exist anymore. Even in Texas.
High demand.
High demand. Right. And corporate greed as well. You know, it's just the truth. But if the government made some compromise, made it easier for people to make communities in Dallas, make communities in Houston, in Austin, San Antonio. And I want your opinion on this, but I can't lie. Our homes are very handsome. They're good looking homes.
We have people that are coming in like by the floods now and saying, hey, I want 7 or I want 17 or I want 84. We have tons of those people that they are just regular hardworking Americans are coming in and saying, hey, I want a fully finished out home to where I don't have to do nothing. Hey, I want a home that's got my electrical plumbing and framing and spray foam done. Hey, I want a home that's just a shell and let me customize the inside because I can do that on myself. I can go get a construction loan and I can do that process. I mean, there's tons of different ways to do it to get out of the regular day-to-day 9-to-5 job and saying, hey, I want to build a legacy. It all starts with one.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree. So, Colin, you said something earlier. It has to do with like product knowledge that I really wanted to ask. When we were talking about the difference of mobile home versus what we build, off-site modular, you would say, right? You talked about building on a frame versus building without a frame. For the people who don't know what that means, tell me, what's the difference? Frame, no frame? I mean, tell me.
The frame is built on a steel chassis. It's how they're classified. It's how the government...
That's mobile home.
Going back to the government, that's how the government classified
HUD.
A HUD manufactured home.
Okay.
Is they're on a chassis, which is a steel frame with axles underneath that potentially... And it all goes back to how you can finance those homes because potentially you can move that house in 10 years if you wanted to. Versus an off-frame modular, after you set it on the property, it's non-removable.
Right. So when you say off-frame modular, what does that mean?
Off-frame modular means you have a traditional floor joist system underneath your home versus a steel frame.
Okay, understood. So my biggest question was, you know, when people think of modular, they think of like boxable, right? They think of pieces that you can stack together. Are we trending towards that at Saddlebrook or?
So there's two different types of modular. There's a single family home modular and then there's a commercial grade modular. So boxable fits into that commercial grade. I see them going into like modular as far as building apartments and complexes,
like stacking them.
Stacking them on top.
Yes.
That's a whole different ball game of that we're not in. So they're, you know, I see them building apartments and townhomes and skyscrapers one day with off-frame modulars, and they just crane every piece in and fit it together. Maybe in the next 20 years we might get into that, but I don't see that in the next 5 years.
You're going to get to see a skyscraper being built in 2 days.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, I've seen off-site modulars with even elevators, like apartments that got built with off-site modular frames, that they piece these together and they literally even have real life elevators from the top floor to the fifth floor.
Jeez.
That might be a good business model because, you know, Trump was saying he wants to bring back cities to America. I mean, think about it. Dubai was built from nothing, right?
Dubai, yeah.
So why can't America
make
the same?
Great again.
I mean, he's saying he's going to have cities, 6 cities bid, skyscrapers. I mean, imagine making a city out of nothing. And modular skyscrapers being a thing, how cool would that be?
That would be trending in the right direction. But Kyler, going back to your point of why do so many people not know of this opportunity? It all like I've got one word in my head. It's called education. People that knowledge. They just don't know. They haven't seen anything that proves to them that it works. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people. I mean, there's so many people. Let's even take for the state of Texas. We could spend thousands of dollars in marketing in Texas and still not reach everyone. And so it's just the fact of being on a podcast like this or being on other platforms and telling people what we do and how we do it and why we do it. That's going to help educate people. And it's also going to take people like you that's listening to hit the share button, hit the subscribe button, and share it to a developer, share it to a real estate. Hey, I met these guys on a YouTube channel, and I think this would help you. You know, stuff like that. That I believe America, that I mean, that's how social media was built. That's how brands get built. That's how companies get built, is other people talking about those companies. But the biggest thing I always go back to is education. How can you educate the population even around you of what's possible? And telling these investors and the general contractors of what's possible outside of having to build it on site, and it takes a year. Mm-hmm. And you have to have project managers that, you know, that are running ragged all over the place because they have 50 projects they're trying to general contract between electricians, plumbers, and they're having to schedule everything, because if you schedule the painter before the drywaller's done, sure. Well, you got a problem. But if you don't order the paint right away before the painter gets there, you got a problem also. So that's what the project managers are having to, you know, coordinate. And it takes so many project managers and purchasers. Why? Because they have 50 projects strung over maybe a 150-mile radius that they're having to order for all 150 projects, versus we have one place, we have an inventory that we pull from, it's twice as easy.
Yep.
And so that's the biggest thing, is education of just letting the contractors know, letting the developers know, letting the people that want a new home know of what's possible,
yep.
What's affordable. And being a voice out there that I don't see taking initiative.
I'm really talking about, but I'm trying to bring to awaken the dreams of every individual that ever has wanted to invest in real estate. I'll get on YouTube or I'll get on a podcast and I hear these people that, you know, they say, hey, I want to invest in real estate one day. Hey, I want to do this. And we were talking about it, analysis paralysis. And I agree, it's education, but it's just making the decision. Hey, is it a smart decision? Yes or no? Boom, let's move forward. Yes, the developers and real estate investors that are already investing, yes, they need to wake up and say, hey, this might be the right product to set up these communities. But I'm talking about the listeners that are listening into this, or the real estate agents or whoever's speaking, like, or watching this right now, is saying, hey, do I have 10 acres? Do I have 20 acres? And what town am I in? Okay, first off, I'm doing research on where I'm located. Is the demand for rent high or is it low? What's the average cost of rent? You know, that's the things that I'm looking for. If a unit costs me $100,000, it's the 1% rule. I need to get $1,000 a month rent for that to make sure that all the expenses and mortgage is paid, and that makes sure that I can, you know, make a cash flow on my property. I am trying to wake up America, even the middle class, the people, the 20-year-olds, the 18-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 60-year-olds, and saying, hey, you can still create a legacy for your family, or hey, you're just beginning. This is a business model. You know, go and set up 5 of them, pay them off, and go set up another 5. And in 10 years, 20 years, you're going to have some big corporation like BlackRock is going to come offer you a big return on investment on the little idea that you had. That's what I'm trying to wake up and saying, hey, you don't have to just work 9 to 5. Work the 9 to 5, make that money, and then take that money and invest it, instead of going and buying more debt that's not giving you any money back, right? Assets and liabilities. If I make $1,000 a week, how much of that am I saving? If I'm not putting $200 to $300 a week back, you're going to be in the same hole every single week. That's what I'm trying to wake up and say, hey, are you investing your money? Because as long as you keep on trading your time for money, you will always be at the same spot.
Correct.
How me and you did it is we started buying houses. We started buying our own real estate. We kept back 30, 40, 50% of our income, actually 50% of our income. We were saving for 3 years a lot. And we went and bought a bunch of homes, right? And now those homes have gained $40,000 in equity, all of them. And that number's high, but we just made a decision. Hey, we say we want to invest now. And we're going to put our money into these investment, these strategies. Now we make a return. We make a return every single month. We get a cash flow that comes in. That's tax deductible, right? So now we've created a business that now we're not paying as much tax as everybody because we're using strategies that the IRS has set up for us. That's the education that people are missing on how to start your business in real estate, because it's a business. It's not just investing in real estate. It's a business. And that's what I want to wake up and saying, what are people missing that they don't know how to go start investing in real estate? Like, why do people not do that? Why do you not think that they do that?
It goes back to education. They don't know. There's not, you know, it goes back to your question is, why don't they invest in real estate? They don't know how.
Yeah.
So they have no one showing, you know, a lot of people want, they... goes back to, you know, fast food. They want the returns, but they don't want to do what the people that had to create the McDonald's, they don't want to do what they did. And so that's the biggest thing that I learned early on as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. A lot of people want it, but they don't want to do what I had to do to get here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to put themselves in the place where they have to make a decision one day of, you know, either this happens or you can't make payroll. They don't want that decision to be on them.
That's right.
And so that's where people, why don't they invest? Sometimes they're just too scared. You know, Kyle, you always say there's three decisions. One's a great decision, one's a bad decision, and one's indecision. The worst one's definitely indecision, because you're sitting there, you don't know which way to go. You know, how many of us go to a restaurant? We kind of know what we want when we go in there, but then we spend another 20 minutes mm-hmm. trying to figure out what we want to eat, and then go back to the thing that the first thing that we thought that we're going to eat, that's what we come back to.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indecision.
Yep.
Insane.
I took Zeke to a restaurant, and the first time he was down, because it was that analogy is made by, I can't remember her name, and she said, you can tell by when you hire someone, how they, when they get there in the restaurant, and how fast they make the decision on how they order.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he ordered pretty fast. That was pretty funny.
But what America has come to, and I hate to even say this, but you go through a drive-thru, they make you feel like you're choosing something, but then they're telling you what to choose.
Yeah.
So is there really any freedom of what you want to eat, or are they telling you what to eat? They're letting you pick, which... in your brain says, oh, I'm telling them what I want to eat. No, they're telling you of what they have. They're already prepared it. And now you pick one of the five items they have on the menu for you to eat.
Yeah. They're making it look like you have some options.
So that's where we've come to as a country, is do we really have freedom or not? We do, but we don't. There, a lot of decisions are already made for us.
Yeah.
They just make us feel like we're having the opportunity to make the decision.
Yeah.
So going back to why don't people make a decision is they want people to make the decision. And then when it comes to a point to where they have to make the decision, they go to indecision because they've never had to make the decision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So guys, before I end this podcast, I do want to ask, for those people who are in indecision, right? I think indecision does come from lack of knowledge or too much knowledge.
Lack of knowledge or lack of education.
Yeah. So for those people who are thinking of it, have some money in the bank, they want to do some communities, they, even if it's just one home, right? Kyler, how can they get in contact with us, and what will we help them with?
Yeah. So if this podcast helps you in any way, we're going to have a link in the bottom that you can schedule a call with one of our home experts or me. And if any questions, any doubt, any knowledge, education that you need, we would love to jump on a call with you for 15 or 30 minutes. You'll have that option. We'll have that link in the bottom, and they can just hit that link. They can schedule a call with us, no matter what, how old, whatever it is. Give us a call. Like, we'll schedule that live Zoom call, and we'll go over any questions that you have.
Yeah. We'll get into details, A to Z. You got very knowledgeable people, and Kyler and Colton, guys. So, guys, thank you so much for today. Seriously, guys, before we leave, guys, again, like the video, comment. If there was a question that we didn't get to in this video, drop a comment. It also helps our algorithm. And guys, seriously, if you know someone who's in that indecision phase that needs some help, share the video.
Yes.
It's Kyler, Cullen, and Chris, and we're out. Let's go. God, I'm still counting my blessings.